Welcome to Orange Sunday, everybody. I'm so glad that you could be here for this very special service. We love what God is doing in our kids and students ministry all over Grace Bible Church, all over the 757. And today, as I think about our ministry to the next generation, I want to talk for just a few minutes about the difference between what something costs and what it's worth, because cost is different from worth. Here's one way to think about it. This is a souvenir ticket from when I took my daughter to see Taylor Swift up in Washington, D.C. a couple summers ago. Now, the cost to seeing Taylor Swift in D.C. was very, very high, but I'll tell you what, it was worth it. It was so worth it. Now, this is like the opposite of the experience I had 23 years ago. My wife and I were newly married. We didn't have very much money at all. We went out to dinner to this little diner on Virginia Beach Boulevard. It's not even there anymore. And when the bill came, I don't know, it was probably 14 bucks. Didn't cost a lot, and it was not worth it because we fought the whole time. And when you're newly married and you're poor, anything, any money you spend, if you spend that amount of money fighting the whole time, it's just not worth it. Plus, I really like to enjoy my meal. It wasn't worth it. Low cost, not worth it. Now, one more. This is something that my daughter made for me. My daughter Lydia made this many years ago for Father's Day. Very low cost. She got the 2x6 out of the garage. She decorated it for me, said all sorts of nice things about me. Low cost, but incredibly worthwhile. Incredibly worthwhile to me. And I want to ask you a question today as we get going. And here's the question. What is the faith of the next generation worth? It's a question that we've had to wrestle with as a church. It's a question I would encourage you to wrestle with. Whether or not you have kids, whether or not you ever plan to volunteer with kids or students, we need to wrestle with this question. And here's the answer we have landed on at Grace Bible Church. The answer is everything. The faith of the next generation is worth everything. We want to do everything we can to help kids and students know, love, and serve Jesus. But you know, the question of what's the faith of the next generation worth, that's actually the easier question. The more difficult question is this one. The question, what will the faith of the next generation cost? There's the question of what's it worth, but also what's it cost? Because whatever it costs is what we must be willing to pay. And to help us answer this question today, I want to look in the book of Psalms. And I want to look at Psalm 78, where we receive instruction about training the next generation. We're going to take it from verse 1. Here we go. The psalmist says, "My people, hear my teaching." So this is teaching for all of us. If you're a follower of Jesus, or even if you're not a follower of Jesus and you're a part of our church community, this teaching is for you. "Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old." Verse 3, he says this. He says, "Things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us." So we have heard and we have known. That reminds me right from the beginning that the faith that I have, the faith that you have, is faith that came because somebody else passed on to you what you have heard and what you have known. See, at some point in our lives, we were all the previous generation, and somebody had to pass their faith down to us. And in verse 4, the psalmist helps us to know how to do that. He says, We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. We're going to tell them all these things about God. We're going to make sure the next generation knows the deeds, the power, the wonders of God. Here's what this means for you, and here's what this means for me. See, if we're going to invest in the next generation, if we're going to consider the cost because it's worth so much, here's what you and I need to know. First thing, we need to know this. We need to know who God is and what he has done. You need to know who God is and what he has done. Now, let me help you think about why this is so important. My kids love to go tubing and they love to water ski. They love to tube, they love to water ski. And every summer, well, not this summer because of coronavirus, but pretty much every summer for the past 10 plus years, we have traveled down to Alabama to my wife's family reunion and we stay with her aunt and uncle on a lake and there's all the cousins and they got a boat and another uncle brings a boat onto Lake Martin down in Alabama and they pull the kids in the tube and they, you know, knock them off and we get them up on skis, two skis, one ski. And it is a great time for the kids skiing and tubing down in Alabama. But here's the thing. I actually am unable on my own to provide my kids with the opportunity to ski or to tube or to enjoy the lake because, well, I don't live on a lake and I don't own a boat. I can't actually provide that for my kids. I have to depend on other people to provide that for my kids. Now, here's the thing. It's not really a big deal. It's not really a big deal that I can't give that to my kids and that their family comes along. It's okay that I can't provide my kids a fun day at the lake. But you know what's not okay? It's not okay if I choose to abdicate my responsibility to know who God is and what He has done so that I can pass it on to my children. See, here's what's true about you. It's true about me. You can't give what you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. And if you and I aren't willing to take the psalmist's advice, and this is for parents, but this is for the church community, this is for all of us. If we aren't willing to look up and discover all that God has done and learn more about all of who He is, we can't give what we don't have. And when we don't lean in to who God is and what He has done, I mean, we miss out a little bit, but we're robbing the next generation. I mean, look back at verse 4. Look back at verse 4. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation. See, we have to know it ourselves. We have to know ourselves who God is and what He has done. And then the command is for us to tell the next generation who God is and what He has done. That's the second thing I want you to see today in this. We have to declare. Number two, we have to declare who God is and what He has done. We have to know who He is and we have to declare who God is and what He has done. And I know you might be thinking, well, Eric, like, can't this be a community thing? You know, like you went down and depended on aunts and uncles for the skiing and the tubing. So aren't you saying like that that's okay if that's what happens? No. Don't miss the point of the story. You can't give what you don't have. And as a community, we need one another. We need one another to know who God is and what He's done, and we need one another to declare who God is and what He has done. And yes, parents, lean into your faith in Jesus. Your faith in Jesus is the greatest gift you can pass on to your children. Not your desire for their faith, but your actual growing relationship with Jesus. And yes, I hope that all of our kids and students, volunteers, will lean into their growing relationship with Jesus. But as a church, what's the faith of the next generation worth? It's worth everything. It's worth everything. And we could say it like this. Every generation is responsible to the next generation. We are responsible to the next generation. Verse 5 helps us to see it like this. He decreed statutes for Jacob. That's God's law, God's character, and established the law in Israel, which He commanded our ancestors to teach their children. So we have to know it so we can teach it. Why? Look at verse 6. So that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. See, as we pass things on to the next generation, they will in turn be able to teach it to their children and their children's children. We need to recognize that at stake right now, in our church right now, in our homes right now, in our community right now, is not only the faith of the next generation, but the next generation. And will you and I Will you and I take seriously the responsibility and the opportunity we have to pass on our faith to the generations to come? I want you to feel this today. Every generation is responsible to the next generation. And I want to ask you, how are you passing on what you have received to those who will come after you? See, we all know in life, there's nothing more tragic than something beautiful and powerful and meaningful that only lasts one generation. I had an incredible opportunity to see something like this happen a number of years ago. I came to Grace here August of 2003, August 1, 2003. And we came from Lexington, Kentucky, from a little Christian church there called Hillendale Christian Church. And when I was the youth pastor at Hillendale, I ran an intern program for high school kids in the summer. And so we'd do leadership development, we'd do spiritual development, then we'd go serve. And somehow, I have no idea exactly how it came up, but we got the idea that we took like the stuff to make lunches downtown where there was a homeless population, and we would just see if there were people who were hungry. So we went and we took bags of chips and we took stuff to make sandwiches, and we went downtown Lexington, and before we knew it, we'd given away like 40 bag lunches that we'd made up right there. And it was really cool, and everybody was so excited. We said, well, let's do this again. So we went down another time and fed people again. And then, as only teenagers can do sometimes, the ante just continued to be raised. So we said, well, what can we do that would be even better food? And so we started to cook food in our little kitchen there. We'd cook the food, we'd figure out how to keep it warm in coolers, and we'd go down and we would set up more and more elaborate lunches for the homeless people who lived down by the library in downtown Lexington, Kentucky. And as we were near the library in Lexington, Kentucky, I remember the day they decided to take mac and cheese. And this was, you know, like student empowerment. And so, you know, they learned that if you put 6 boxes of mac and cheese in one pot and you try to stir it, the spoon breaks off and you leave the plastic spoon in the mac and cheese. There are limits to the amount of mac and cheese you can make in one container. The highlight for me was one day we said, you know what would be great? Let's take a cookout down to the library. So no joke, we loaded up a gas grill in the back of the church van. We took it down, set it up in front of the library, and I was grilling hamburgers for all the people who were down there in front of the library until a police officer came, didn't know, and he said, excuse me, sir, you can't have an open flame in front of a public library. We're going to have to ask you to leave and close it up. But we'd already served a ton of people, so we had to shut it down. Anyway, so we went downtown, we fed people. That was great. So that was like May, June, July. We leave in August. Well, as we kept in touch with people, you know, I found out after we left that some of our volunteers who were involved, they kept the downtown ministry going. And they moved it from weekdays to Sundays after church. And so that whole year, they went downtown every Sunday after church and they fed homeless people. And the next year they went downtown, and the next year they went downtown, and they went downtown, and they kept going, and they kept going, and kids would come in middle school, and they'd go and serve, and they'd get out of high school, and they'd graduate from high school, and next generation would come in. And 16, 17 years later, kids from this little Christian church in Lexington, Kentucky were still going downtown every week to feed the homeless. Because there were a group of youth leaders, volunteer youth leaders, who had a vision for the next generation. They felt that they were responsible to the next generation, and they wanted kids and kids and kids and kids and students and students and students to know the priority of serving those in greatest need. See, it was a small group of youth leaders who took seriously the call to be responsible to the next generation. And I want to ask you today, do you feel responsible? Do you feel responsible to the next generation? Because all of us should. We all should. See, because when we're responsible to the next generation, this is what happens. We see it in verse 7. This is what we're rooting for here. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. And it is worth it to help the next generation put their trust in God. See, every generation is responsible to the next generation. Every generation is responsible to the next generation. And as we begin to reopen, as we begin to relaunch our Sunday services in the weeks to come, there are going to be opportunities for you to lean into the next generation. You don't even have to come to the building. I mean, some of you might be called to do that. You might feel comfortable. As you're ready, come back, serve. Maybe it's going to be babies or kids. Maybe it's a digital small group. Maybe it's a Zoom call. Maybe it's admin. But let me tell you, investing in the next generation is one of the highest callings that all of us have. And so maybe for you, you're going to be someone who prays for the next generation or writes thank you notes to people who are leading small groups of middle school students. Whatever it is, we have to wrestle with this question. What will the faith of the next generation cost? What will it cost? Here's the answer. Whatever it costs for you to know God and declare his works. See, the faith of the next generation, what's it going to cost? It's going to cost whatever it costs for you to know God and declare his works. Because if you and I don't have a growing relationship with Jesus, we won't have one to pass on to the next generation. Please, 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 please don't fall prey to the strategy of hoping that your kids and the kids in our community, the kids in the 757 will just be a little bit more godly than you are and a little bit more godly than I am. That's not a strategy for success. What will it cost you to know who God is and to declare who he is? And are you willing to pay that cost? Because I'm telling you, when you're willing to pay that cost, it is always, always worth it. Let me pray for us, and then I'll give you some questions to discuss today. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and in Jesus' name, I pray for all of the kids and students in our church that even in the midst of this COVID crisis, you would give them a robust faith and hope and confidence in you. I pray for all of the leaders, all of the volunteers in our church who serve with kids and students, and I pray that they will know how much they are loved, and I pray that they will pay the cost to have a growing relationship with Jesus themselves. And I pray that as a church, you would open our eyes to what you are doing and that we would be willing to follow you, to invest whatever it costs to see the next generation know, love, and serve Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, three discussion questions. We've been doing the same questions every week, but it's worth it. Number one, what stood out to you from the message today? Number two, what do you think God is saying to you personally? And then three, what are you going to do about what he's saying to you? What stood out? What is God saying? What are you going to do about what's the faith of the next generation worth? It's worth everything. So let's pray about how we can be involved.